You enjoy that? Say amen.
Amen.
Wonderful, Miss Nina. I appreciate that. Amen. We have, the Lord has given us so much talent in this place, and it just seems like He keeps adding it and keeps adding it. I believe maybe, Brother Todd, for too long, we could have the best choir in this part of the country. Amen. The Lord has given us, and it's funny, He's given us strong female voices. I want to know, can some of you men cackle a little bit? Amen. Amen. We'll have to have an all-girl choir, I reckon. Amen. No, I think there's a few fellas that can sing a little bit too. Take your Bibles tonight and go to Genesis chapter number 49. Genesis chapter number 49. I want to give you a thought tonight that the Lord gave me while I was talking to a fella the other day. Genesis chapter 49. Say amen when you get there. Genesis chapter 49. Now let me tell you what's going on in Genesis chapter number 49. Jacob, y'all remember Jacob, Esau's brother, Jacob who stole the daddy's dying blessing and the birthright and that kind of thing. Jacob is at the end of his days. He's no longer known as Jacob the cheater and the liar, but he's known as Jacob the prince. God changed his name, remember, to Israel. And in Genesis chapter number 49, Jacob is about to die. He's at the end of his road, and he calls his family around him, and he begins to prophesy and tell them what their future is going to be. And he calls each one by name and tells them where they'll spend their lives or whatever. But in Genesis chapter 49, he's talking in verse number 13 to his son Zebulun. And I want you to notice what he says to Zebulun. He said, Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. Now I want you to notice with me one little phrase that Jacob makes in this verse. It didn't just say that Zebulun is going to have a haven. It says that he's going to be a haven. It said he shall be a haven. You know what a haven is? It's a protected place. It's a place where the ships could come and get out of the storm and out of the wind. I ran into a fella just here the other day, and we're just talking. It was in the part store, and he had on a short sleeve shirt, and the rest of his arm was covered. It was like a solid tattoo all the way down. And he was a younger man, probably in his mid late 20s, and we got to talking. I said, by the way, I started walk out. I said, by the way, where do you go to church? And he said, well, he said, I grew up in church. He said, I'm saved. He said, but he said, I just rebelled bad as a teenager. And he said, now, you know, he said, I'm not welcome in most churches. I said, I know one where you would be. I said, are you familiar with Villa Rica? And he said, yeah. I said, do you know where the Happy Valley Baptist Church? He says, that the place with all them buses in the parking lot? I said, that's it. I said, you'd be welcome there. He said, I guarantee you I wouldn't. He said, your preacher would probably turn a backflip if I walked in that place. I said, no, I don't think he would. Matter of fact, I think he'd care about you enough that he's the one inviting you. And he just stood there kind of dumbfounded for a second. He said, you're the pastor? I said, yeah. He said, man, you seem like a normal person. And I got in my truck and I started to drive away and I didn't think much about it. And I'm driving down the road and I'm thinking, the world has a misconception of what the church is. Somewhere along the line, they've got the bad taste. I don't know if the guy expected me to talk in a different tone or to, I was just cutting up with him, you know, just being normal. And he said, you seem like a normal guy. I said, man, we got a church full of normal people. Amen. And people like that, man, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for a haven. They're looking for a place where they can come in and not feel like an oddball. Amen. I'm not saying having your arms tattooed is right. But once you do it, it's done. Amen. I mean, there's no tattoo eraser, I don't reckon. There's no soap that'll wash it off. I mean, it's done. I thought about the whole time I'm standing there talking to this guy, and he never said tattoo or anything. He just picked up his arm like that and said, I'm not welcome in most churches. I thought about my pastor. Brother Earl Partain. Brother Earl was in the Navy. Served on a ship in the Navy. Brother Earl, I'd never seen Brother Earl out without his suit coat on. And we had a work day at the church. We was working on the buses and Brother Earl took his jacket off. And Brother Earl had big old tattoos on both his arms. And I thought, well, look at that. Look at that. And by the way, I have no tattoos, I promise you. But I'm just saying, people are looking for a refuge, a place, a safe haven. And here's what I want to say to you tonight. The Bible said, he shall be as a haven. He shall be a haven. Man, that makes it individual, doesn't it? He said, I'm not sending you there to run a haven. I'm sending you there to be a haven. In other words, you and I can be, we can do something to this dogma of us hate mongers. Amen. And listen, when I grew up, the Independent Baptist Church, that's pretty much what it was. I mean, if you didn't talk right, spit white, I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you didn't smell right, if your hair wasn't cut high and tight and all this kind of stuff, man, you got dogged on. Amen. Hey, I was guilty of it when I first started pastoring too. I'm not saying not preach against sin, and I'm not saying not preach the truth of the Word of God, but God sends them people in here. When I talk to other pastors and I tell them on average how many visitors we have per Sunday, it freaks them out. I don't invite them. I invite people, but the ones I invite don't come. God just sends who needs to be here. Are we okay tonight? Now, if God sent them here, there had to be a reason for it. Number one, the reason was not to be looked down upon. The reason was not to be pointed at and made fun of. The reason must have been to be loved. Our theme for the Ladies' Day this year is the gift of God. Is that right? And did I say it right? The ultimate gift. Listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I know God hates sin. I know God hates sin. But buddy, what Jesus won people with, the only people he was really rough on was the religious crowd. And he kicked their rear ends on a regular basis. Amen? Yeah. But buddy, when it come to old publicans and sinners, he come right down there where they were, and he loved them. Remember the little lady came to the well to draw water that day? And she came at noonday because she hadn't come when all the other ladies came, because she was a loose living woman, and there she met a man who told her about some water. Amen? Yeah. Man, I want people to come in here and go, wow, these people aren't judgmental like everybody said. You'd be surprised how many people come to this church and they'll come for a few weeks and it never fails. I'll get to talking to them and they'll say, you know what I heard? And I could say the words before they do. I heard this was a cult. I heard you weren't allowed in there if you weren't wearing dress clothes. Are y'all listening to me? It is up to you and I. These four walls are not the haven. We are the haven. These four walls and that steeple up on the roof, that's not the church. This is just a building. Are y'all listening to me? This is just a building is all it is. Amen. And this was somebody else's church before it was ours. Amen. I'm not crazy about building programs. I'm in taking over somebody else's building. Amen. I'm just waiting on First Baptist to get tired of that new one they got. Amen. Every time I see one of them, I say, y'all ready to trade back? Amen. I tell you what, I'll make you a deal. Even swap. Amen. I've had my eye for some time on this old grocery store up here in town. I feel something every time I drive by there. Paved, lighted parking lot. Be so convenient for some of y'all. It's got a bar right next door. Amen. Amen. Listen. I want to talk about a place of haven and a people of haven tonight. I'm not so interested in hoity-toity, high-class people. Amen. Not against high-class people. They're as welcome here as anybody else. But Jesus said, go after the maimed, the halt, the blind, the withered. Listen, as us being a haven in this church, I want to say, first of all, that means we are to be a refuge. We are to be a refuge. Brother Todd and them sing that song, and I ran, and Ashley and Levi and Cora, and I think all of them sing, and I ran to the city of refuge. And I ran. When you're on the run, you're running from something. Amen. Did you know most of the world is running from something? You remember back when you were lost? Come on, talk to me. Remember back when you were lost? Remember when you thought everybody in church was hypocrites? Come on, nod your head. You can be honest. You remember when you thought everybody in there was stuck on their self and they was looking down your nose at you? Even if they were, in a lot of cases they probably were, but in some cases, that's just a feeling you get of guilt. Because you come into a place where a lot of people are right with God and you know you're not, so you automatically feel like they're judging me. Listen, man, I wonder how many times people come in, sit down on the pew, maybe they've never even heard a clear presentation of the gospel, and this is their statement. Man, I came here looking for some help. I came here looking for some help. Listen, as a church, all I get to do a lot of times with visitors, I get one shot just to shake their hand at that door when they go out. Now, I'm going to fuss at you for just a second, okay? When we say, let's turn around, shake hands, welcome our visitors, that does not mean you corner up with your buddy and talk for 5 minutes till I have to beg you to sit back down. Are y'all listening to me? Hey, you got eyes just like I got eyes. You know who doesn't belong. You know who doesn't fit. You know who face looks strange. They ought to be surrounded during fellowship. There ought to be people lined up waiting to shake their hand and say, hey, man, we're glad you're in church today. Amen. We need a church full of Walmart door greeters is what we need. Amen. Hey, you may not preach a message. You may not teach a Sunday school class. But you can shake somebody's hand and say, hey, I'm glad you're here. Amen. Amen. I don't care who they are, what color they are, how many tattoos they've got, how many piercings they've got. I don't care. Amen. Let me tell you something. Brother Jeremiah, when he came here with his wife, Nina, who just sang. Brother Jeremiah, how long was your hair? Huh? It was down to his rear end. If I say that, Mama will whoop me. It was down to his rear end. It was down to there. He braided it, and it was that long. How many times did I ever tell you to cut your hair? How many times did I ever fuss at you about your hair? Not one time. Amen. Do you know what I choose to do instead? I just loved him. Amen. I just loved him where he was. Yeah. Treated him just like I treat Brother Charles or Brother Todd or Brother Tommy or Brother William. Y'all all right? Amen. He needed a place where he could feel safe. He needed a place where he could feel loved. And I'm glad he found that place. Amen. Hey, it's easy to be judgmental. It is. Anybody can do that. A moron can be judgmental. Amen. A moron can be judgmental. I was in a meeting one time, and there just happened to be a pregnant teenage girl there. Pregnant. Sitting on about the third row over on that side, and it was evident she didn't have the male part with her. She was by herself, still living with her mom and daddy and carrying a baby. This guy got up and preached for me. You know what he preached about? He probably used the word whore 15 times while he was preaching. He saw her just as well as I did. Do you think she knew premarital sex was wrong? Come on, y'all help me. Do you think she knew? I rarely will get up, oftentimes, and I don't know why, but oftentimes I'm the second preacher. And rarely will I get up behind another man and correct him. But I did that night. I did that night in so many words. I said, whatever your condition, God loves you and he has you here to help you. Amen? Y'all okay? It ought to be a refuge. Now listen, don't get me wrong. We're going to preach on sin. We're going to preach that premarital sex is wrong. It is. But just because we have a select individual in the room, listen, I don't know if y'all realize it or not, but every now and then, I'm going to be careful, every now and then we have a gay couple. Yeah. Y'all okay? Amen. Ooh, swallow real hard. Amen. Somebody said, when you going to run them off? I'm not. Amen. I'm not going out to eat with them or anything, or camping or nothing like that. But I'm going to preach the truth of the Word of God to them when they come. Y'all okay? Hey, man, how many of you used to drink? How about smoke a little dope? Few of you got guts enough to raise your hand. What's the difference in you and them? Come on, y'all help me now. What's the difference between you and them? Man, if you ask the average person in this town what Happy Valley thinks about homosexuals, they'll tell you they hate homosexuals. No, we don't. No, we don't. We hate homosexuality. Amen. We don't hate drug addicts. We hate the drug.
Yeah.
Are you okay? The drug addict ought to be able to come in here and find a place of refuge. Amen. Hey, I want this place to be a refuge for little bus kids. When they come to this place, I want them to feel safe in here. I want them to feel like it's a church ganged up against them. And the Lord lets me live the Sunday morning, them babies will parade in here. They ain't even in here yet, and I can't handle it. Every time I see them, I think about where I came from. Every time I see them, I remember that, boy, somebody provided me a refuge where my little single mom raising two kids by herself could bring her children. We okay? I want them bus kids to have a refuge. I want this to always be. Listen, when most of them graduate high school, we're going to lose them. Most of them. When they graduate high school, we're going to lose them. I'm just telling you. I've been doing this long enough to know. But someday they're going to get in trouble. Someday a storm's going to come in their life. And you know what they're going to remember? They're going to remember this place. Y'all all right? Brother Clint Massey rode a bus to church all his life. As a teenager, he got out of church and got pretty wicked from what I hear. Boy, one day he needed something. He didn't go back to the church that come and got him on the bus, but he went back to the people that come and got him on the bus. Why? He remembered something. He remembered somebody cared about him a little bit. Amen? I want this place to be a refuge for little bus kids, for boys and girls. I want them to feel as important as the deacons and their wives and children. Amen. Every one of them. The black ones, the yellow ones, I don't care what color they come in. If there's one comes in striped like a zebra, we're going to love him. Amen. Y'all all right? We're going to love him. Boy, if you're having trouble with this, you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. It ought to be a refuge for these little bus kids. It ought to be a refuge for an old drunk. It ought to be a refuge. It ought to be a refuge for somebody with an addiction. Having this program coming up, this RU program, that shows our heart. You know what most churches say? Every pastor I've talked to about this that does not have a program already. When I travel, I talk to a lot of preachers. And I ask them, I say, what do you think about the RU program? And I've actually had this said to me more than any other response. Well, I just don't know if we want that kind of people. That's their statement. What other kind is there than just old sinners? Amen. What other kind is there than just old sinners? Amen. We may never be the church, probably won't, that all the doctors and lawyers want to go to. That all the highly, by the way, we do have a lawyer that comes here. Amen. And he likes it. But we may not be the uppity class church. But I want to be in the church that know, that people know. Hey, listen, some of you, if you're not careful, are going to mess up. Do you hear me? Some of you are going to mess up. And you won't be the first. And you won't be the last. But I want you to know that no matter what happens, you've got a place you can come back to. No matter what you do. Not saying we're excusing what you might do, but we'll love you. We okay? I want this place to be a refuge. I want this place to be a refuge for divorcees. Amen. Y'all okay? Hey, I grew up with one raised me. When I grew up, somebody who'd been through a divorce, but they just looked down on pretty hard. Especially if they remarried. They just look down on real bad. We're not going to look down on them around here. We're going to love them just like we love the rest of them. Y'all all right? I've told it 100 times. I might as well tell it again. Brother Dennis Hollis came here. He and his wife, Miss Donis, they're at Clearview now. They're the youth pastors over there. Brother Dennis has a jail ministry. He invited me and my wife out to eat. And we're sitting at Arby's right here in Villa Rica. Brother Dennis looked off across the table and a big old tear run down his face. He said, Brother Eddie, I don't know if you know it or not. He said, but I've been called to preach. I said, well, amen, brother. I thought he's just getting emotional about God calling to preach. He said, but I know I can't do it anymore. Huh? Run that by me one more time. He said, well, I've been called to preach, but I'm disqualified. I said, what disqualified you? Well, it got quiet in here. He said, my wife left me, and I remarried. I said, what are you doing Friday? He said, why? You need something? I said, yeah. I said, chapel's at 10 o'clock. I want you to come preach to our kids. He said, you'd let me preach? I said, in a heartbeat. You got a King James Bible? Got your doctrine straight? You know what he's looking for? He was looking for a refuge. He went to a place where all he could do is see it. All he could do was see it, Brother Charles. He wasn't qualified to do anything else. He couldn't teach a Sunday school class. I'm talking about a local independent Baptist church. If I said the name of it, every one of you would know it. And I love those people, but they're wrong. He was looking for a refuge. Okay. You might remember the story I told about the young couple. Actually, it wasn't a young couple. It was their pastor. Called me. He said, Brother Eddie, this young couple wants to get married, and I thought you might be willing to marry him. He said, the husband's been divorced. I said, well, I might. I normally don't marry people that ain't members of my church or connected with my church family. I said, but I might. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, where are they going to go to church after I marry him? Oh, they're coming here. Y'all stay with me. I said, are you going to take their tithes? He said, I see where this is going. I said, yeah, I do too.
Amen.
Bear with me. Listen, I was taught all my life, especially once I surrendered to preach, that I could never marry somebody I'd been married before. I was told that, and I was taught that. And some of you were too. And some of you may be disagreeing with what I'm saying right now. But the very first one I married was my mother. Brother Dennis said, I'm glad you changed. Amen. Very first one I married was my mother. Listen here. Of course, I knew the situation, and I know the situation of anybody I marry. My mother, my dad, who's in heaven, my dad was a road musician and left town and married another woman before he even divorced my mom. My mom was 9 months pregnant. He came to the hospital and brought the other woman with him while my little sister was being born. Sure did. My mother faithfully raised her children till we were grown and out of the house. Served God faithfully for 25 years picking up boys and girls like Clint Massey. I had turned people down in the past because of what I was taught. My mother introduced me to one of the dearest men in my life, Wayne Newsom. When the day came, she said they were getting married, and would I marry him? I rethunked that thing, Brother Sam, about that fast. If she didn't deserve somebody, nobody does. We okay tonight? Now don't come argue me about this. We're talking about my mama. If she didn't deserve somebody to share the rest of her life with, if she didn't deserve that, nobody does. And I don't just believe it was a decision she made or a choice she made. I believe God made that decision. And God made that choice. Not only did God allow it, I believe God made it happen. You can disagree with me, it's all right. You can be wrong all you want. Amen. I want this place to be a place of refuge. And truly in my heart, I believe it is. I really do. Be careful what you say. Brother Greg was giving a devotion on Saturday, and I made a comment about being careful what you say to people at the door. Don't answer questions you don't know the answer to. Don't just come up with something to make you look smart. I was in town here the other day, and a lady where I was in the store, I know her well, and I walked in, and I started to walk out, and she hollered. She said, wait a minute, I want to ask you something. She said, I didn't have the guts. She said, but I've just got to. I said, okay. She said, my neighbor, it's a black man with a white wife. She said, they told me that somebody from your church knocked on their door, and they asked, would they be welcome? And they were told no. I wasn't going to mention that, but I thought I'd just go ahead and put it out there. If they ain't got a car, I'll go get them. Yeah, ride the bus. Y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
I believe when Jesus opened his arms, it wasn't for a select group. Refuge. You know what that is? It's a safe place. You drive through Red Top Mountain State Park during the night, pull out a flashlight and shine it out your window, you're going to jail. Trust me. You're going to jail. And then if they find a firearm in your vehicle, you're really going to jail. That place is eat up with deer, and you ride through there at night and see them by the hundreds. But for shining a flashlight on a deer in that refuge, do you know what that's called? You're not spotting lighting unless you got intent to kill. Harassing the wildlife. Well, what do you call it when that deer jumps through my windshield, Jack? That's what I want to know. Harassing the wildlife. If a deer deserves that much safety and respect, surely people do. Amen. I think we're just going to start having Hug a Sinner Day. They made fun of Jesus for it. They said he eats with publicans and sinners. That's who he came to reach. Listen, I'm getting stuck here. I have a different outlook on home missions than a lot of people do. A lot of mission boards and colleges especially teach that to go to a mission field in the States, you need to have full support by supporting churches before you go. That's not my opinion. That's not my opinion. If that would be the case, then I should have had full support from surrounding churches to take Happy Valley. How are you going to get to know the community you're trying to reach if you ain't in it? Here's my take. Get a job. If you only have you and your wife and maybe a couple other families, you have nothing to do. Get a job. When a stranger comes into town, especially in the Midwest and out West, when a stranger comes into town and comes and invites people to his new church, they ain't going. They don't trust him. But let him work side by side with them in a meal. Let him eat lunch with them every day. Y'all okay? And for long, that town falls in love with that preacher. And that church will grow big enough that it can support him itself. We all right? Amen. Let's get to know these people when they come in here. I need your help. If you've noticed the last few Sundays, on Sunday morning, Brother Charles starts singing, I'm walking around. Because I can't do it during fellowship. I can't get past that front pew. So I just walk around and shake people's hand while singing's going, I want to meet everybody that comes in this door. Amen. Yeah. They don't all go out that way. Some of them go out that way, and I never get to speak to them. Sunday morning, I want you to make it a point that you look around you. And if you find somebody that you don't recognize, you go to them. Shake their hand. Listen, if they've got teenagers, tell your kids. Or they got smaller children, tell your kids. Hey, go welcome them kids. Amen. Amen. Ladies, go welcome that lady. We had two ladies visit our church two Sundays ago. Two ladies. First time they'd ever been here. They came back on Sunday night. The lady came up to me and she said, Pastor, we want to help around here. I said, what do you want to do? They said, we want to help clean the church. I said, tell Miss Shelley. And I introduced them. Buddy, Saturday morning, there they were. Visitors. Clean the church. Let me say that again. Visitors clean the church. Listen, we're not their responsibility. They're our responsibility. I don't mind that visitors help clean the church. I think it's awesome. I don't care if visitors wants to run a bus route or help on a bus route. I don't care. Stacy and Terry was, where'd they go? Oh, they came down. They were in the balcony. They were shocked. When they come here, they wanted to start helping on a bus. She said, well, I want to know if I could ride a bus and help out, but we hadn't joined yet. I said, knock yourself out. I don't put a big, big, big deal on church membership, if you may have noticed. I don't open the doors but once every few months. Y'all okay? I know preachers that open the doors of the church every service, even if they ain't got a visitor. I promise you, I've seen it done. I preach revival meetings, brother, and they open the doors of the church. Other churches are there visiting, coming to hear the evangelist. And that preacher's hoping to steal some of them folks is what it is. Amen. Man, as long as you hear, that's what matters. A refuge, a place of safety, a place of protection, a place where I'm not going to be beat up if I'm different. If I don't look the same and wear the same and talk the same, y'all okay? Amen. I'm not going to be looked down on. Number two. Not only should this place be a place of refuge, not only should we individually be a people of refuge, but we ought to be a place and a people of rest. Brother Tony, can I use you? Brother Tony Avery came here beat up. You'd be surprised how many people come to this church just about done. And Brother Tony had the grace enough to talk to me and tell me about it. Told me everything he had been through. And he'd been through some stuff. Pretty rough stuff. And this is what he said. He said, Preacher, I just need a place to rest. I said, Amen. Just don't sleep too long. Not only did he need a place of rest, he needed a friend. Amen. Just because somebody don't come in and jump in with both feet, maybe they're trying to catch their breath. I want people to be able to come in here who's been beat up in a church split somewhere, just about to give up on preaching. There's some folks I talked about today with Brother Bob. We went to lunch together. We talked about some folks today who went through a bad situation in a church, and they've been out of church since. I'm going after them. That's all there is to it. I'm going after them. Why? They need a place. They need a place of refuge. They need a place of rest. They need a place where they can be restored. Amen? Y'all all right? I had a preacher. This Wednesday night, we're on the radio. I'm going to say his name. Not long after we came here, maybe a year or so later, I was sitting here on the platform. And a preacher that I had admired, who had messed up, came in and sat down right behind where you are, Brother Philip. And I sat here on the platform and I looked. I thought it was him. I looked again and I knew it was him. I went back there and I put my arms around him. I said, Brother Wayne Cowley. He dropped his head. I said, don't do that in here. But for the grace of God. Y'all listening to me? But for the grace of God. I'd like to know if something happened to me, and I pray it never does, that there'd be someplace I could go. He said, Preacher, would you allow me just to come and see it? I said, yeah, I count it an honor. He said, yeah, but you probably hadn't heard. I said, yeah, I have. Yeah, I have. And I don't want to hear any more. You need a place to come and say it, you come say it. And he did for a few weeks and then moved off somewhere. Kind of lost track of it. You say, yeah, but it didn't. Yeah. Yeah. Every one of us has probably done something. A lot of times they come in here and they beat up by the world. Sometimes they come in here and they beat up by their own self. Y'all all right? I had a man come in and sat down one Sunday, and I'd call his name too, but I can't remember it. He pastored a church here in town. Right here in Villarica. And was caught in some pretty grotesque sin. I'm talking about prostitutes. Pretty bad. In this town, his name was known in every house. He'd come in and sit down on that back row. I knew who he was. He saw me coming. And I could tell he just got all fidgety. He just knew I was fixing to tell him to get out. I put my arm around him. I said, it's good to have you, preacher. He said, don't call me that. I said, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Amen. He said, brother, I'm just beat up. I said, sit down and rest.
Amen.
Sit down and rest. You need healing, you're in the right place. Oh, you might get your hide preached off of you from now and then, but that helps the healing process.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, the people living in sin, when it's preached on, they know it better than anybody else. Amen. Listen, I had a lady get mad at me one Sunday, and I'm just rattling. I had a lady get mad at me one Sunday because I said something about abortion. She said, you know so-and-so had one, and I didn't. I went to so-and-so. I said, I'm sorry if I hurt you. She said, you didn't hurt me. She said, I couldn't agree with you more.
Amen.
You okay? She said, I regret it every day of my life. She said, if I could do anything, she said, you tell them girls. She said, I wish somebody told me.
Amen.
Amen. Place of refuge. Place where they can come in and feel safe. A place of rest. Place where they can come in and get their breath back. Amen. You get out of church for a while and see where you wind up. See how weak you get. You go without preaching for 4 or 5 years and see how weak you get. See how ungodly and how worldly you get. And you're not going to come back in the door shouting and praising God. You're going to come back in limping a little bit. You're going to come in weak and you're going to come in weary. But by the grace of God, come in.
Amen.
I got proof to back up what I'm saying. Wave at me, Brother Joe. You mess with him, boy, you got trouble. God's got his hand on him, whether you approve of him or not. Just don't give him no bus key. I can poke at him because he knows I love him. He came back. You know what he needed? He needed some rest. He got the rest he needed. Then he hit the ground running. He's back on them buses every Sunday. Then after he got his breath back and after he hit the ground running and after he got back on them buses every week, God saw fit to call him to preach. What if this had been one of them churches where we crossed our arms and looked at him like, who do you think you are? You know where he'd be tonight? Jacked up on meth. That's where he'd be. Oh, he wouldn't have left and went to another church. He'd have been hurt so bad he wouldn't go nowhere. I'm glad you came home. When I grew up, they didn't preach much about restoring people. They preached more about churching people. Y'all know what that means? means they vote you out and turn you out. I had a fellow one night call me on the phone back when we was in the old building. When I came to the church, Brother J.M. set me down as our former pastor. He set me down. He said, let me tell you about a few people and what you're going to deal with them. I said, okay. And this man happened to be one of them. He said he smokes pot. And he smokes a lot of pot. He said, he'll come to church. He's liable to be stoned. He said, but he really deep down loves the Lord. He's just got a problem. I said, okay. Sure enough, first Sunday he came in, I saw his old eyes all glazed over. I said, how's it going? He said, going good. He liked my preaching better than anybody else. Amen. I had a fella call me one night and he said, what are you going to do? I said, what? He said, you know what I'm talking about. I said, I ain't got a clue what you're talking about. He said, you know so-and-so smokes dope. I said, yeah. I said, you overeat. Amen. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I ain't going to do nothing. He said, I think he ought to be brought forth to church. I said, is that what you think? He said, that's what I think. I said, look here. He's not leading the choir. He's not teaching Sunday school class. I said, he just comes to church.
Amen.
Now, if you're out in the world and smoking dope, where should you be? All this stuff that was pumped in my head growing up, as I start pastoring, common sense starts kicking in. Wouldn't it be better off under the preaching? Someday it might click. And you know what I heard? It did. Brother Charles knows who I'm talking about. It may not have, but I heard that it did. I heard he got off the stuff. Hallelujah. Reckon if he had ever come back to church, if somebody had told him, you can't come here if you're doing that on the side. Place of rest. You know what they say when you're sick? You know what you need more than anything? Come on, talk to me. Rest. Isn't that stupid how they tell you that in the hospital and then they come in your room, turn the lights on every hour? My wife had her gallbladder took out a few years ago. And I'm going to stay at the hospital with her. And I thought, boy, we'll sleep tonight. Because they kept talking about how much she needed to rest after surgery. I'm talking about every hour. Like you set your clock, you get just about asleep. Bling! And they don't cut that dim light on over the bed. They cut the bright ones on. Rest. Rest. That's what they need. When they're sick, they come in here. And they need a place where they can rest. Let's provide that. Let's provide that. Amen? Place of refuge. Place of rest. And I've already hit this hard enough, I guess. But a place of renewal. Place of renewal. A place where they can get their strength back. A place where they can get the Holy Spirit moving in their heart again. Amen? I wonder how many of you have been there. I wonder how many of you have been there. How many of you have ever been to a church? You don't even have to have tattoos in some of these places. You don't have to have piercings. All you got to be is somebody else. Somebody they ain't never seen before. And they look at you like you got four heads. When I was just a young preacher, I was preaching a youth meeting down in Rockmart. My wife, I forgot which one of the babies was little, but my wife took the baby to the nursery. There were four women working in that nursery. My wife sat in that nursery with them four women the entire service. They didn't know her from Adam's house cat. You know what they said to her? Not a word. Nothing. Of course, Rockmart's part of that problem, amen. I had to kick it there, Brother Charles. Not a word. Y'all know the church. I can't remember the name of it. It's a big church on the 4-lane going towards Cedartown on the left. Not a word. I got done preaching. They didn't hardly speak a word to me. I thought, boy, this is a friendly place. Before you come in the building, every service, look at that sign. And by the way, we desperately need a new one. I want to run over that thing with my truck. Watch what it says. Happy Valley Baptist Church. Emphasis on happy. Amen. Make people feel glad they come when they come. Listen, whether you realize it or not, we're going to have visitors again Sunday morning. Will they meet you? Are you going to stay congregated up talking with your friends during fellowship? On Wednesday nights, we fellowship with each other. Even on Sunday nights, we fellowship with each other. But on Sunday morning, let's attack every visitor we see. Let's smother them with kindness. Amen. Some of them are going to like it, and some of them ain't. Some people will come to a church where they don't agree with everything the church preaches, but they feel something. They feel like people love them, and they'll come back. They may come in and not be like everybody else, whether it's skin color, whether it's dress, whether whatever. But if they feel like somebody loves them, they'll come back. Amen. They'll come back. Some of them. Some of them, the preacher will talk about choking a baby and they'll split. That happened just 2 weeks ago. Amen. A couple got highly upset. Or a couple didn't, just the one lady did, but I wouldn't choke a baby. Not real hard. Amen. Appreciate you being in church tonight. Been a blessing, hasn't it? Just to get to do it one more time. Looking forward to Sunday. Wish y'all wouldn't go to all extreme you do. Time I get to the point where it's time for me to preach, I feel so about that big. But I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Let's stand our feet. Yes, sir, brother.